You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
Come with me to Exodus 33, verse 1. This is such a fun season. I believe that Pentecost is a church birthday. We celebrate birthdays. I think Pentecost should be up there with Christmas and Easter in terms of the church's celebration. It's the birthday of the church. Something significant happened at Pentecost. The church was birthed with the power of God. And that's why we take some time often around this time of year to really explore who the Holy Spirit is, what He's come to do, to give Him His correct title. You know, it's not sort of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, or Father, Son, and No, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God revealed today on earth. He is God, completely, 100% God, completely. And the Holy Spirit is God on earth today. Where's Jesus right now? Seated at the right hand of God the Father. Job done. He intercedes for us. But Jesus on earth today is the Holy Spirit. And this is where life starts to get exciting. So what does it mean when we're talking about the presence of God? What does it actually mean? That's my title for the day, the presence of God. Because theologians have a word that is omnipresent. It means that God is present always, all the time. So throughout the planet, God is here. So if God is here in this church, does it mean He's not in another church somewhere? You know, that's ridiculous. Of course He's here. He's everywhere throughout the world. King David says, "Where can I flee from Your presence? Where can I go?" Nowhere is the implied answer. So God is omnipresent. He's always everywhere, all the time. So when we say the presence of God, what we're actually talking about, the revealed presence of God. Like in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God in the cool of the day. Does that mean that God then wasn't on the other side of the planet or somewhere else? No, it meant that there's the revealed sense of God right there with Adam and Eve. Hey, Di, you've got it. You've got it. So Adam and Eve walking with God. Now, just fast forward a few times. You think of some of the Old Testament greats like Enoch. He's tucked in one of the genealogies of Genesis. It says that Enoch walked with God. Now, he was known for a guy who walked with God. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing to have on your gravestone later, one day? Jeff walked with God. I'd be okay with that. Moses talked with God face to face as a man talks to a man. Amazing. So God is talking with Moses, the presence, the revealed presence of God is talking with Moses. Does it mean He's not somewhere else? No, it just means that He's also able to talk immediately and personally. Incredible. These are foretastes of what is to come, by the way. The Old Testament is full of little pictures of what is to come in Jesus. So when we see Moses talk with God, or we see Samuel or David or some of the greats in the Old Testament have this incredible walk with God, it should point us to a place that we actually now have. This is the exciting thing. We live in the age where we can have access to this 24/7. And not just a king or a prophet or a priest, everybody. Because it says when the Holy Spirit came, it was poured out on all flesh. Doesn't matter if you're man or a woman or, you know, rich or poor or how old you are, it just didn't matter anymore. And so these little pictures we get in the Old Testament should point us forward to a time when it was actually fulfilled in Christ and then made manifest by the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus who comes is God, actually. Did you know that? I hope you know that. So Emmanuel means God with us. So the body of Christ, when He was walking on earth, God wrapped up in skin, was actually God. So He demonstrated what it was going to be like in the future. And He'd walk amongst people. He'd eat with people. He'd understand where people are coming from. He'd question people. He'd debate with people. He'd teach people. But what about now? Bathurst, 2018. Like, where is God? Is he omnipresent? Is he kind of there, but kind of not? Or can you have the same kind of walk with God that perhaps Moses did face to face? Or perhaps if Jesus in flesh was to turn up, could we have that same kind of relationship now? Well, the answer is yes, and I'm going to show you how. And it's the most exciting thing. So I'm going to preach from Moses. Moses, interesting time. He'd been up the mountain of Sinai, this kind of meeting place with God. He'd risen up there for about 40 days. He was getting a download of all of the commandments and the ways that his people were supposed to live, like detail. And you can read about that in Exodus sort of 30, 20. Like there's a whole chapters full of God's kind of guidelines for how the people should work. And what happened was that God, even with his own hand, he wrote on some stone tablets, gave it to Moses to carry down from the mountain to basically tell his people, hey, this is how it's going to work, people. But when he arrived down the bottom of the mountain, like, it was horrible. The people had kind of forgotten about Moses. Oh, I don't know what happened to Moses. He's still up the mountain. So let's create our own God. Sounded like a good idea at the time. And they melted down all this gold and they made a golden calf and they were worshiping this thing. I don't understand ever why you would want to worship something that you've created. That makes no sense to me. Because clearly I'm more powerful than the thing I made. But anyway, they were worshiping this thing, dancing and celebrating. And Moses comes down, he's furious because he's just been with God. And he smashes these tablets on the ground. And God says to him, he says, why don't I just obliterate all these people? Why don't I just kind of smote them, is the Old Testament King James word. Don't you love that word? Smote. What's really interesting is that God listens to Moses. Because Moses says, God, excuse me, before you smite these people, let me just remind you that these are your people and that you made a promise to Abraham that these people would journey on and inherit this promised land. You know what the Bible says? It says that God changed his mind. Wow. That's the power of prayer. It messes with your head, doesn't it? All-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God listens to man and goes, good point, Moses. I won't smite them. And he lets them go. And that's where we pick up the story, okay? There's the background. And then in 33 verse 1, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, depart. It's time to go. Gather the people, right? Go up from here, you and the people whom you've brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, saying to your descendants, I'll give it. He says, it's time. You've been walking in the wilderness too long. Remember, they're walking from Egypt to the promised land that God was going to give them. They're in the middle in the desert, getting instructions, getting sorted. And God says, right now, it's time to go. Get ready. He says, I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Stop there for a second. He says, I will even give you an angel. I will give you a powerful angel to push ahead and to drive out all the enemies so that you will have free passage. This is sounding pretty good, isn't it? Despite them worshiping the golden calf, he says, I will go. And sorry, no, he says, I'll send this angel out before you. And then he says, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. He says, I will not go with you in your midst because you're an obstinate people and I might destroy you on the way. Hello, this is different. God has been with his people all the time. He was the one who took them out of Egypt. He's the one who did the miracles, you know, the frogs and the blood and the Passover. He's the one who led them by a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. He's been with his people. But now he's saying, you know what? I'm just going to send an angel. It'll be fine. The angel will sort out the armies for you. But I'm not going with you. And for the second time, Moses turns around to God and says, excuse me, God. Nah, that's not a good idea either. Can you believe this? Moses the man, second time going back and saying, God, I've got a problem with this. He intercedes. Now, I think Moses is a prefigure of Jesus. We know he is from Scripture. Because he's just, in a sense, saved his people by his intercession, by his prayer. But it's not enough for Moses just to save his people without something else. He doesn't want to go ahead without the presence of God. It's not good enough just to be saved from death if we don't have the life of Jesus with us. It's no point just living in the death of Jesus if we don't have the life of the resurrection. That's what Moses is doing. We can kind of read back into that. It goes on. This is in verse 14. God says to him, he says, okay, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Then he, Moses, said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you spoke. I will also, I've just changed my mind. For you have found favor in my sight, and I've known you by name. Then Moses says, I pray, show me your glory. And right here, there's five. Rose said there's another one at kind of coffee break, but there's five or six things that here that I want to look at, why we should have the presence of God with us. I'm talking about the revealed presence. Of course, God is everywhere all the time. I'm talking about why would we want to walk with God each day? Here's five, maybe six things, if I get to it. Let's find them, hey? Let's go back to verse 14. He says, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. That's number one. Let's keep going. If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us. Leading. But how can it be known if I've found favor? That's the third one. Favor. God's presence brings favor. I and your people. Is it not by your going with us so that you and I, your people, may be distinguished? His presence distinguishes his people, marks them out as different. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing of which you've spoken, for you've found favor in my sight, and I've known you by name. That's the sixth one I might get to that Roe invented just while I was having coffee. She said, there's one more. I said, no, there isn't. We'd know his name. We'd know her name. Then Moses said, I pray you show me your glory. After all that, it's that we would see the glory of God, which Jesus actually promises later. So let's have a look at those things. What does his presence bring and what does it mean for our world? First one is rest. This is such a big deal in our world, isn't it? Our lives are so full, so complex, and rapidly changing. We live in a world where change is the only constant. And there is so much pressure on us to keep up and to do stuff and to be things. And our world is, even just the last 10 years, even the last 5 years, has shifted so much that we just get overloaded. You know, like these things and the devices in our pockets that buzz away and the latest apps. And I was reading this morning how this is going to be great for us. Like they've got new apps that track your kids where they're driving on their P's. And they tell you when they've had to brake suddenly or how fast they're going, where they've been. And it's going to be great. No, not. But, you know, suddenly, you know, I could buy a black box and put it in my car and I could track it. But that means another app and another thing on my phone, another thing to track and monitor. I mean, how many things are there on this thing? You know, apparently soon you'll be able to unlock your car with these things. Just zip, set the temperature you want it to be beforehand and bang, and then set the seat arrangement. And I just want to drive it, you know. But we live in that kind of world where everything seems like a great idea, but I'm tired. Jesus says this. In Matthew 11:28, it says, come to me. Come to me. Come to my presence. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls, he goes on to say. Rest isn't just the absence of work. Work is a gift of God, by the way. Work is good. I love work. But in the middle of that is rest for a soul. And there is time out as well. Presence of God brings rest. Sometimes I can be in the busiest season of my world, but I'm rested on the inside because God is with me. And I know his presence, and he's given me rest inside. No matter what seems to be going on around what circumstances we're facing, rest is there. Second one is leading or life direction. It's the what do I do now? And how many of us face that again and again and again? Big decisions. And like they're all good. So many possibilities. We live in the options generation. A few hundred years ago, it wouldn't have mattered. I just would have grown up on a farm or something and inherited the family farm. That would be easy. But now, I could do anything. Go anywhere, be anything, live anywhere. Live all over the world. I could pursue any career. There's so many different options, so many different lifestyles. And sometimes the pressure of choosing where to go, what to do next, how do I get there, can I afford it, should this happen, should I do this before this or then that, and how does it all pan out? It's really complex, isn't it? And so we either switch off and disengage or just take a punt. But what if God would actually go with us? I think that's what Moses was saying. He says, who will lead us from here? He says, I don't know where the promised land is. I mean, he probably did. And God is saying, I'm going to send an angel. But Moses is saying, the angel's not good enough. I want you. I want you, God, to come with us. I don't want to go alone or just some angel going ahead. I want the presence of God. Because you know the way and you know the detours and the shortcuts and the long way. And by then, they're sick of the long way. I've been doing this for years. Moses said, we just need to get there. God, you need to take us there. And you need to guide us and lead us and give us the power. Life direction. Love Psalm 32:8. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Anybody need that this morning? It's yours in the presence of God. God will instruct us. God will teach us and lead us in the way which we should go. Lots of ways that we could go, but what way should we go? What is God taking us into? So his presence brings rest. His presence brings leading, life direction. His presence brings favor. I love this word. Favor is graciousness. It's the ability not to count the problems, but to extend. Do you know my definition of favor? Well, boys and I were playing a bit of hockey yesterday. And, we made up our own goal on the field. And my definition of favor is that I'm just going to create a really wide goal. That's favor. I could be mean and go, this is the goal, and I'm not moving. But favor says, no, actually, just take a shot and you'll probably get there. It's a wide berth. When you see that amongst people, it's accepting, it's liberating. Psalm 5 verse 12 says, it's you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Special treatment, it's favor. God's people are to have favor. That's what Moses was pointing out. He says, God, we need your favor. Like that thing when we left Egypt, that favor thing where, we asked for all the gold and the silver and you gave it to us? That thing where you set us free by all those really weird miracles, turning river into blood and frogs and the gnats and the locusts? That's favor, looking after his people. We might go, that's not fair. God favors all his children. Favor, graciousness, special treatment. The next one that Moses says is distinction. That there should be a distinguishing fact or a feature about us. He says, how will all the other nations know that we're any different? If you're not with us in the middle, there's nothing to set us apart from the other nations. That's the church. People should experience us, whether it's in a gathering like this or in a connect group or just meeting one off. They go, something different about you. What is it about you? You're so positive. You're always so gracious. You've always got time for people. You're always affirming. That's the mark of the Holy Spirit in the middle. He was encouraging, always building up, always blessing, always being generous to me. What's going on in the middle of that makes it possible? It's because of who I know and who I carry. I love in Acts 4:13 when Peter and John, Jesus' disciples, were in a court actually, and they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. These are just normal, ordinary people, but suddenly they've got this confidence. And they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. They were in the presence of God. These were the ones who Jesus had spent time with, and they go, that explains it. That's what makes a difference. They've been with Jesus, so therefore they've got this unnatural confidence. This authority, this ability to be bold in any context. That's what you and I have when we get around Jesus, when we get around the presence of God, when the Holy Spirit comes into our world. Suddenly we're bold. Suddenly we're confident. Suddenly we're able to go places that naturally we wouldn't do. Because there's something inside of us that fills us. We're not intimidated anymore by what people think or the fears around us. We go, no. If God is with me, who can stand against me? Not arrogantly or presumptuous, but just in an inner confidence that makes the impossible possible. That should be the mark of the church. We've been with Jesus. Therefore, have confidence, but compassion, love, kindness. And then Moses at the end of this passage, it's odd because he's arguing, you know, he's stating his claims with God. And then he says, oh, God, and by the way, show me your glory. What's that about? What do you mean show me your glory? Like here, Moses, understand, talks with God face to face. Like they even had to put his tent outside of the camp. Like they would see a pillar of fire. And they go, Moses is having a moment with God. Literally, that's what would happen. They would look and they'd see, tent of meeting. We won't disturb Moses right now because he's doing business with the Lord. Joshua, by the way, was in the tent with him. So Moses already had this incredible sense of being able to talk with God face to face. So why does he say, show me your glory? What does that mean? But curiously, again, God goes, all right. He said, but you won't be able to see my face. But just hide here in this rock, and as I pass over, I'll put my hand on you, and I'm going to pass by. And it happened. It happened. And it got me thinking. It just confirmed to me that God was with Moses. Like he answers the most bizarre, that's a bizarre prayer. You know, I haven't actually ever prayed that prayer. I don't think I will. God just coming. But what if that's what we need? What if an experience or an encounter with the glory of God, I mean the revealed presence of God, what if that's what our world needs? Way, way beyond religion, way beyond rules and instructions, which somehow the church gets labeled as, way beyond just an association with any other faith. It just operates in rules and legalism. We are alone in carrying the revealed presence of God. Church has a high calling. No other religion has that sense of God with us, in us, through us, empowering us. That's why Pentecost is so important. It's what sets the church apart from every other religion. It's what sets the Christian apart from any other religious folk who are just trying to do their thing to maybe reach God one day, maybe, but maybe not. But we have confidence because Jesus has done it for us. Therefore, we live lives carrying the presence of God, bold love entering our world. And just as we close up, let me mention that sneaky one that Ro talked about. Jake, I'll get you to come at the front, man. He says, it's the name thing. He says, I will also do this thing by which you've spoken, which you found favor in my sight, and I've known you by name. I've known you by name. The God of the universe. The God who created everything. And I mean everything. Stars, planets, institutions, politics, culture, language, trees, bell frogs, crickets, microorganisms. From the expanse to the small. God knows your name. He has that possible. 7-8 billion people currently on the planet, let alone how many people have passed before him. God knows your name. What is it to know someone's name? It's their identity. It's their core. It's who they are. To call someone by their name is a beautiful thing. Not just, hey, you, but to call someone's name, Bev, Rosemary, James. Does something, doesn't it? It's like God says, I know you by name. I call you by name. In fact, everything about you is unique, right down to your fingerprint. I don't know how that works, but there's 7 billion more, 10 billion designs already in the planet of these things. Isn't that phenomenal? None of them are the same. God's creativity is unbelievable. You could write a whole sermon on just the fingerprint. This morning, God wants you to know that he knows your name and he knows everything about you and he loves you. It's not knowing your name because he wants to get you in trouble. No, he knows your name because he created you, formed you before the creation of the world in his heart and his spirit.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org. Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your blood.